You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. It's the sound of the start of another edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and happy Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully you settle in, getting a couple of days off, relaxing, listening to us talk about the stuff that takes your mind off of the more serious stuff in your life. So we're here to talk some fantasy sports. We're going to talk baseball and definitely get into some football today. We've been mock drafting, as many of you out there that are into that can attest that it's always a part of the process. It's pretty early to be doing it, but we're in some experts leagues, and we'll give you a sense of how things are playing out. George and I are doing one together with the Roto Experts staff. It is a standard league, and it is on a horrible platform that we've been using. We're slow drafting it. Matt has been on a slow draft of an NFFC, so we'll give you an update at least on the first few rounds of what's going on. So George, hope you're having a good Memorial Day weekend. I know you're a big hockey fan, so we're settling in for the Stanley Cup Finals, which start on Monday, aren't you?
Yeah, the NHL decides in all their wisdom to take a 3-day break. Smart of the NHL. You know, great idea. Let's stop the momentum you've had for a couple of days. Awesome planning.
And started on an American holiday, nonetheless. So I'm sure everybody's going to be wide awake for that game on Monday night. So, Matt, you're in the midst of a football draft and in the midst of a Memorial Day weekend. So big plans after the show?
Not really. The wife won't be home till Sunday night. So pretty much happy to be here in studio.
That's a mancation right there, as we call that. So you're on your own. So two big highlights from last night before we get into it after the break. But 13 is the magic number last night. Max Scherzer goes out, knocks down 13 guys, and gets the win. So a nice little bounce back here for Max Scherzer, Matt.
Yeah, no, that I mean, look, he's one of the best in the game, and you know, it's always a treat to watch him pitch. And if you're a Coda Glover owner, you had to be excited that he got in there, got the one out save with the strikeout, and so it kind of worked on multiple platforms.
Well, I'm a newly christened Coda Glover owner. I picked him up the other night, the same day that Dusty named him the closer. So I made a quick move there. George 13. Goes unlucky for the Yankees last night, as Tanaka really looked sharp last night, 13 Ks, but takes the loss. The Yankees couldn't really push anybody across the plate last night.
The Yankees offense has been dormant now for about a week, 7 to 10 days. They really haven't been hitting up the par. They're a home run laden offense. If they're not hitting the home runs, they're not scoring runs right now. And right now, they're not hitting the long ball as much. They had a nice little streak here of playing nobody but KC, Tampa Bay, and Oakland, and they are not taking advantage of it.
Yeah, so I actually went to the Yankee game last Monday night, so I'll get into that a little bit. And my experience there, they took the win that night, beating Jason Vargas. So we got 2 hours coming up, folks, chock full of baseball, fantasy. We're going to talk football today, too. I'll probably give George and Pete and Matt a hockey segment. I'll just sit back and listen. So thanks for joining us on Memorial Day weekend. We'll get again started after the break. Mike, Matt, and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike, Matt, and George here for the next 2 hours. And hit us up on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Radio. That's at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And Matt Modica is at CTM Baseball. So we're going to get into a lot of different stuff today. So just going over the games that I kind of previewed right before the break. Max Scherzer totally dominant last night, 13 Ks as he goes 8 2/3. Glover gets in there for the final out as Matt said, gets the strikeout and the save. So I'm pretty happy about the fact that I actually have Scherzer and Glover. So best of both worlds right there for me. I get the cheapy one out save, and I'm good to go. And it was a 5-1 game to boot. So Bryce Harper hits a bomb last night as well, 2-run homer. So for those of you that are Bryce Harper owners, got to be happy with that. Trey Turner actually goes deep last night for his 5th home run of the season. So good news there on the Washington Nationals front, all across the board. A lot of fantasy relevance last night, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely, like you said, you had the best of both worlds with the pitcher and the closer. Bryce Harper, you know, going deep. I believe on the lineup lock with Tony Cincotta and Benny Riccardi, they recommended Harper as well. So, you know, maybe in DFS, you won there too. A thing with Masahiro Tanaka, as we touched on briefly, there was a tweet last night that's really stark. I mean, he's in his 10 starts, he's got 5 with Gary Sanchez and 5 with Austin Romine. He's 4-1 with Austin Romine with a 2.21 ERA and allowed only 2 homers. Gary Sanchez, he's 1-3 with a 12.27 ERA and 10 homers allowed.
It's a really good point, Matt. And I actually watched the post-game press conference, George, and he was asked this very specifically. One of the reporters mentioned, he said, why would you go to Sanchez when the numbers with Romine have been so good early this year? Girardi stated that the numbers with Sanchez and Tanaka last year were good, and that's why he went with it. He was just talking about the dynamic between Romine and Sanchez over the course of the year. So your thoughts, do you lend any credence that maybe Tanaka needs Romine to be his catcher for the remainder of the season?
No, I really don't. First off, you mentioned the numbers last year. Sanchez and Tanaka was 1.94 ERA and I think 7 starts. So what, Sanchez forgot how to catch over the winter? All right, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it just doesn't. It's a small sample size. Both are. So, no, I don't give much credence to that. I'm not really all that worried about who catches. Plus, you can't have Sanchez sit once every 5 days. Right, he's your best hitter. So, yeah, that's not going to work either. I mean, last night, Tanaka pitched. I mean, you could say, no matter who's catching, you look at his other starts, the ball's up in the zone. Last night, the ball's down the zone. I mean, that has nothing to do with the catcher. That's just physical ability here. I can understand that maybe Romine calls a better game. You know, I have no doubt Romine's a better defensive catcher than Sanchez behind the plate, not as far as throwing arm is concerned. But to sit Sanchez once every, which is what you'd be asking, sit him once every 5 games, which means he's sitting 20% of the games this year. That's 32, 34 games. That's a lot to sit your best hitter. So I don't think that makes much sense at all. Like I said, Sanchez caught him last year, had no problems. All of a sudden this year it is a problem. I looked last night, and I'm paying attention to it. You know, and the ball's down. The ball's down. It's got movement. That really, to me, has nothing to do with the catch. That's more on Tanaka, who just pitched better for whatever reason it is. Sanchez has been very weird this week. The Yankees sat him Sunday. They called it a sore neck. Then they sat him Wednesday, a rest day. And they sat him again yesterday for Tanaka. What's going on here? Why does this guy need 3 days off a week after missing a month? You know, I think they also may be hiding something.
Well, that would be a disaster if they're hiding something. But maybe it is because he missed that month. Maybe he's not in midseason form, and they're trying to ease him back into the lineup. I know you wouldn't necessarily need that, but I'm just kind of searching for answers. The one thing I would say, too, they showed during the broadcast is they're tracking movement of Tanaka's splitter over the course of the last few seasons, and it's been far less movement on his splitter this season thus far than there was in the previous 3, Matt.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, he's been transforming as a pitcher. I mean, look, we've been calling him a ticking time bomb. George may be right, but here's why I'm going to disagree. The Yankees do have the luxury. If Sanchez doesn't start behind the plate, he can become the DH. And I know their small sample size last season and this season, but right now, if it's working this season for Tanaka with his struggles, why not go that route? Keep him. I don't know. Maybe he's just more comfortable for some reason. Maybe it's a fluke. Maybe it's not. But having the DH, you don't have to sit Sanchez. So for me, right now, when you
that
really
means you're sitting Holiday.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look.
I mean, you're forgetting that someone else has to sit.
Yeah. No. Somebody else does have to sit. But I mean, look, Gary Sanchez, if he's the hitter he was last season, can make that up. I mean, you could put Holiday, you know, in the outfield, or maybe he starts playing first base.
So now you're risking an injury to a player.
Well, hey, look, if he can't get on the field at all, then, you know, that's...
Right. I mean, Girardi's done all he can not to put Holiday in the outfield. I don't think Holiday has an inning out there this year. They did try him at first base, and that didn't work well.
You're going to have to make some things. I think when Tanaka starts, the most important thing for him to do is to be comfortable. The Yankees need him. As you say, the Yankees have had enough offense this season. So if Matt Holiday's got to sit or somebody's got to sit, so be it. But I think the most pressing need for the Yankees is, I don't know if you want to call it a comfortable, whatever the term you want to use, is for Tanaka to possibly be right.
Yeah, lost in all of this, lost slightly in this debate is the fact that Tanaka took the L mainly because Tyler Clippard and Holder were ineffective. They go 1 2/3 combined. They gave up 3 runs. Holder gives up a 2-run homer to Stephen Vogt. And Tanaka unfortunately takes the loss. It's just a tough luck loss. What can you do? Obviously, how Tanaka bounces or continues the momentum from this start will be focused on by a ton of people. I can tell you in my league, he was released. I opted not to pick him up. I'd made a couple of other moves, and I think I may regret it. I may regret it because I was thinking about a buy low situation, but he wasn't even on the waiver wire for a day. So you win some and you lose some. Sean Manea pitches in, I guess, in replacement of Kendall Graveman, right? They benched, or not benched, but they decided to
DL.
Yeah, it's like a day-to-day situation. So it looks like Kendall Graveman will be DL. They skipped his start is the word I was looking for. And Manea comes in and pitches brilliantly last night, Matt. I know he's a guy that you have on a couple of teams, so he goes 7 innings of shutout ball with 8 strikeouts.
Yeah, this is a really good young arm. He's had some games where the control has just totally deserted him. The strikeouts have come even more than I expected this season. The problem with him, the one thing with all the Oakland pitchers, is first they got to stay healthy, but their defense is just so horrific behind them, so it makes them tough. He's a guy that I got early on in drafts. As the live events came closer, I kind of stayed away from Oakland pitchers for the fact that their defense is just so terrible. That team is terrible. That, you know, they don't really have a closer on that team neither. But this is an exciting young arm, and you know, I'm going to enjoy watching him this season. And I think going forward, he's going to get even better.
George, is this a kind of guy that you think, you know, he's out there probably on some waiver wires in shallower leagues? Is this somebody you would buy in on right now moving forward?
Yeah, I would. I think the A's have a lot of decent young pitchers to watch here. But Manea is certainly one of them. He's got that slingshot delivery, too. That can't be fun for a left-hander at all to face. Throws the ball about mid-90s, good off-speed stuff. Yeah. I mean, wins may be sometimes tough to come by, as we saw last night. The A's don't score a lot of runs. A's are a home-run hitting team, too, who for them play in a pitcher's ballpark, which can sometimes be a problem. But I like the fact that his ratio should be good. I think he's a good pitcher. Would I prefer him playing for Boston, you know, or a team that's going to score runs? Absolutely. But I think he's going to be a good young pitcher, that's someone that maybe they can build around.
Did a really nice job of limiting base runners last night, so kept him out of trouble, as Matt was saying. So one last note on that Nats-Padres game. I noticed that Ryan Schimpf hit his 12th homer, George. He's hitting 167. So he's actually he's the National League version of Joey Gallo. He's going to murder you in every category, but he's got 12 homers and 22 RBIs right now.
It's funny. I was thinking the same thing, Mike. Joey Gallo light. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. And I don't know how long you can – I guess the San Diego can. They're terrible, right? They can carry the guy on the team and no problem. I wrote about Gallo and who's hot and who's not. Sooner or later, you know, Beltre's coming back. They say they want to put him in the outfield. Great. So now you're going to have a 190 hitter who can't play the outfield. It's going to hurt you on defense and might hit a home run every now and then. I don't know how long you can run with guys like this. 167? I mean, I get you need some power. And the Padres need any kind of offense they can get. We talked about Scherzer. Anybody shocked that he lit them up last night? For me, it was a no-hitter alert from the first pitch to see if he could get a no-hitter. So I don't know how you can have guys like this. But San Diego can't afford to be patient and I guess let him learn at the major league level.
Yeah, Luis Perdomo threw for the Padres last night, so he continues what is a rough season, obviously. He didn't get beat up too bad, but he's carrying a 5.6 ERA, and it's Memorial Day, so bad times there. All right, we'll come back. We're going to talk. We'll continue to go through some MLB games, but we got to update you on the injuries. It's not my favorite segment, but it's a necessity. It's fantasy sports. We got to tell you who's in, who's out. We talked about Kendall Graveman already. few other guys coming back. George mentioned Adrian Beltre. We'll talk about him. Mike, Matt, and George back after this. We're back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike, Matt, and George. You know, we'll get to some of this a little bit later, but there's some good performances last night beyond the ones that we've already talked about. Tim Adelman, one hit the Phillies. We talked about Scherzer. Neil Walker, Matt's boy, two homers last night. We had Giancarlo Stanton tried to hit one to the moon. Fernando Rodney got a save. I know the numbers look terrible at first glance. It's like 9 or 10 outings in a row where he hasn't given up a run. His job might be slightly shaky, but 13 saves now for Fernando Rodney. I picked him up at the right time because I've benefited from all these scoreless innings here, Matt.
Yeah, no, you absolutely did. Last season, his first 2 months in San Diego were actually excellent. And it's hard to, I can't believe I'm actually saying that. And then once he got traded to Miami, it spiraled out of control once again, you know. I mean, look, he is getting the saves. The Diamondbacks are playing really good baseball, buoyed by the Zach Greinke resurgence, which is real, and I truly buy into it and believe it. So, you know, if you have him, enjoy the saves. You know, just, you know, be careful. He will blow up at some point. You know, I don't know if he's the guy that they can rely on. If this team is really serious about winning, they are going to have to bolster that bullpen.
Yeah. Alex Wood continues his scoreless streak at 25 and a third. He beat Arrieta last night, shut out the Cubs. We had did you see Steven Souza? This game last night.
Oh, my God.
It was the most ridiculous
game. Come on, he was close.
It was the most ridiculous game by a baseball player. I can't remember the last time I saw a more ridiculous game than that. So he ends up, first of all, he hits a homer. But it was preceded by a fly ball to right center field, which he dove for, and they tracked it on MLB.com. He missed it by 30 feet. 30. A first down. He missed it by 30 feet. It dropped in between him and Kiermaier. But they even looked at it. They were both laughing in the outfield when I saw the replay of it. It was ridiculous. But he did hit a homer, so kudos to him. Antonio Sensatella had a great outing last night. Matt, I think he continues to kind of shove it in your face just when you're ready to hop off the bandwagon. He throws a great outing last night against Carlos Martinez. But here's my real question of the night. We'll get into these games a little bit deeper later because we've got to do injuries. Does Charlie Blackmon know that it's warm out? He looks like he's preparing for the ice age. He's got a huge Grizzly Adams beard, long hair. It's summer. What is going on? He's the rattiest looking baseball player I think I've ever seen.
Is he hitting the ball?
Yeah.
I don't care what he looks like. Just keep hitting the ball, Charlie. I mean, really, this guy, I don't think this guy gets enough love for how good a baseball player he is, but how good a fantasy baseball player he is. He can go out there looking like the mountain man for all I care. And listen, he's playing in the mountains. Good for you, Charlie. Keep it up.
337, 12 homers, 45 ribbies, 37 runs scored, over one OPS, 373 on base. He's dropping dimes there, Matt.
I think George said it correctly. He still doesn't get enough love for – I mean, he's a really good Major League Baseball player, you know, and he's become a great fantasy player. So he doesn't get the love. He kind of looks like a cross between Jesus Christ and Charles Manson with this hairdo and beard. So
it's a tough combo.
Yeah.
It's a tough combo right there. It sort of cancels out. It makes him neutral. So he's just a baseball player. You know, I think maybe part of it is that he's kind of a late bloomer, right? He went to college. He was second-round draft pick 9 years ago. He didn't really start playing full-time until 2014. But he put up good numbers in 2013 as a part-time player. So it's really like the last 3 years. And he's already – he'll be 31 in a few weeks, basically. So maybe that's part of it. You know, we don't have a long history.
The Colorado thing as well. Yeah. We don't give players out there enough love for how talented they are because the ball, you know, takes off flies out of there. I get why, but, hey, it doesn't matter. He hits every year. And he can – listen – Manson, Jesus Christ, hey, good for him. It's working.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and plus, you know, he can play the field too. So it's not, it's not all just him behind the or at the plate. So, all right, injuries. We'll try and blow through this quick. The only reason I'm mentioning this guy's name is because I found it funny that Tony Cicada said with confidence a few weeks ago this guy is the absolute worst pitcher in Major League Baseball. Dylan Covey goes to the DL for 10 days with a strained left oblique, currently sporting an 8 ERA. If he's on your fantasy team, your league is far too deep. So moving on, and something that is of note, especially on this show, because we all are hoping for Cam Bedrosian to come back sooner rather than later, Bud Norris left the Angels 8-5 loss to the Marlins last night after just three pitches. So he had tightness, and he took no warm-up pitches after the supposed injury or the alleged injury with tightness in his right knee. So he doesn't think it's cause for concern, but Socha says they're not taking any chances, George.
That's right, they should. They'll go for tests, see what it comes out to. Maybe he's out a couple of days. Maybe he's on a DL. Once again, we've seen teams besides this DL all season long. Maybe that's where he ends up. Hell, every other Angels reliever's ended up there. Bedrosian's, you know, I've said it many times, Socha doesn't seem to like him in the closing role for whatever reason. Either he doesn't get the stuff for it, which seems to be crazy to me. It looks like he could be the closer. But I wonder if Socha just doesn't think he can trust Bedrosian long term. And he may have a point. Listen, Socha takes a lot of grief, and a lot of it rightfully so. He's an old school manager that really hasn't adjusted to today's game. But Bedrosian now, in not even two seasons, has had three injuries, three times on a DL. And they've all been long trips. This groin injury was originally day to day. I understand that's what they say for everyone, but now it's coming out to be month to month. You know, so Bedrosian does not heal very well. And you wonder if that plays a part in it also. If sort of like Washington not trusting Kelly pitching on back-to-back nights of a ninth, why he never got really a chance to close, I wonder if Socha feels the same way about Bedrosian, that he can't go back-to-back, certainly not back-to-back-to-back games as a closer.
So, Matt, to George's point, when Bedrosian is ready to come back, do you think he automatically, say Norris was out, do you think Bedrosian assumes that closer role, or does Socha put him somewhere else and let him work his way back into that role?
I think if Bud Norris is out, yes, then he assumes the closer role. If Bud Norris is, if this was just the, you know, the knee, I don't know. If the knee is fine now, then I think we have a situation where it's probably Bud Norris's job still, and you know, maybe until Bud Norris blows up, he'll have to, you know, he'll pitch the eighth inning or some, you know, maybe like higher leverage situations that are not in the ninth. I'm hoping that he does regain this closure role, because I have him on way too many teams. But as George did say, he is a guy that doesn't seem to stay healthy. Every time he gets the opportunity to close, something seems to come up injury-wise, and it's been rather frustrating.
Yeah, the rumors or the buzz is that Bedrosian has a shot to be back here within the next week. So if Norris was on a 10-day DL and Bedrosian came back while he's on that DL, it's probably good for those owners. But Norris comes back healthy, maybe he gets bumped back to, as you said, high leverage situations that aren't closing out the game. So moving on to some fantasy relevant guys that are on their way coming back. Corey Kluber has missed more than 3 weeks while on a 10-day DL with a lower back injury. He pitched five scoreless innings and got the win in the AA rehab assignment. So he's placed on DL May 3rd. Any thoughts as to when he might be coming back? That's a really positive sign, Matt.
Yeah, no, I thought it would just be like a 10-day DL. I didn't think it was anything serious at the time when he initially went there. Even when it lasted, I did recommend he was a guy that people go after, because, you know, the state of starting pitching is taking such a hit this season. Very encouraging, the start last night. And once he's back in your lineup, you just start him right away.
Yeah. Obviously, his numbers were pretty rough before the injury, but he's the type of guy you can bet on. Speaking of guys that you can hopefully bet on, Dallas Keuchel expected to possibly be activated and make the start today for the Astros, George.
Yeah, that was a definition of massaging the DL. Odds are, if there's still the 15-day rather than the 10-day, I don't think he would have been placed on a DL at all, because he only missed one start. Just use it. Hey, you're missing a start, but we can time it right. We'll put you on a DL, save a roster spot, get another reliever in there. I said, you're going to see teams do this a lot, I believe, especially as the season wears on. You know, you get into July, August, you know, save some innings here and there. If you're going to skip a guy's start anyway, you put him on the DL. You can call up a reliever for that 9 days. You know, it gives you another bullpen arm there. So it works out for everybody here. I think you're going to see this more and more. Not worried about Keuchel.
George, you were a little worried about Keuchel going into the season, but he's 7-0 with a 1.84. He's the type of guy you said you want to see him do it again. I'd say it's safe to say so far he's doing it again, right?
Well, I think I would have been, I don't know exactly what I said, but it would have been more than that. Not only do it again, but prove healthy. You know, he had the shoulder injury last year. He's a pitcher that needs to be perfect because he doesn't throw the ball 98 miles an hour. He's not Chris Sale that's blowing the ball by people. If he's not perfect, he's going to get hit. And this season, he's been absolutely perfect. He's been just as good as he was the Cy Young year 2 years ago. Looks great. Like I said, I have no worries about Keuchel at all. The shoulder's healthy. I think it's the most important thing. Shoulder's healthy. Pitching great.
AJ Griffin left the game last night against Toronto. He was 4-0, but he's been had a couple of rough outings. Now it looks like he's probably going to be headed to the DL with this intercostal strain, muscle strain. So keep an eye on that. Expect him to be DL'd, and he's been pretty rough the last couple of times out. Adrian Beltre looks like he's on his way back. Continued his rehab process, played 6 innings in the field and took 6 at-bats. Matt, Adrian Beltre is somebody that people obviously have their eye on here.
Yeah, we need Adrian Beltre to get back. Baseball is better with Adrian Beltre. Hopefully, I guess they're targeting like mid-June. They're still going to take it very slow. I think next week he could be some, or maybe sometime this upcoming week, he can be playing in minor league rehab games. That would be a great sign. So, you know, that was the risk with an older guy, but hopefully, you know, good things ahead.
George, real quick, James Paxton threw 60 to 65 pitches or was scheduled to throw 60 to 65 pitches. Says he could come back to the Mariners by next week, a guy that you're buying in on right now.
Absolutely buying in. Probably not starting him next week, though. I think one of those starts is in Colorado.
All right. Be back in a couple of minutes. Mike, Matt, and George, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we are the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's Mike, Matt, and George. And you should go to therotoexperts.com to check out our exclusive Edge in-season fantasy baseball package. It's your ultimate bench coach for the 2017 season. Stay ahead of the pack with our in-depth statistical breakdowns, trend analysis, and player insights. Become a waiver wizard and learn how to scan the numbers like a Roto scientist. We help you set ideal lineups every week. And this season, you get a built-in fantasy training staff with our new injury advisor, powered by InsideInjuries.com. Get the RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge in-season fantasy baseball package now and start soaring to the top of the standings. Enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for a special discount. You can see George's who's hot, who's not, which we typically talk about on Sundays, and George does the closer report as well. We'll get into the closer stuff a little bit later. I talked about Fernando Rodney, though, George, as a little highlight. It's kind of amazing, right? The guy's numbers look like hell, except for the fact that he's got 13 saves and he's got 10 scoreless outings in a row.
Yeah, everybody's worried about the ratios, the ERA and the WHIP. Certainly not the best. But then again, hey, if you drafted him, hey, you got him late, right? So you weren't expecting big things. And the ratios are annoying. They look bad, but they're not going to hurt your fantasy team all that much. I mean, it's not ideal, but he's getting the saves. That's what you drafted him for. Yeah. His job security is secure. There's no one else there that's ever going to take it.
That's what it was going to lead to. Nobody going to challenge him for that job?
No, they don't have anybody else to challenge. Not right now. I think Matt put it perfectly earlier. If Arizona stays in contention, I think they would bolster the bullpen. But would they go out and get a closer? I mean, a bona fide closer? Robertson? You know, Colomb, I don't know about that. I think they would bolster the bullpen, but not someone who would take over for Roddy, at least not right away. Like I said, it's ugly. 6.75 ERA, 1.5 whip. It's not pretty. But, you know, 13 saves, I'll take that. He's only blown two.
You know, George and I were talking about, like, when K-Rod got cut, I just needed some. It was at the point where I lost Britton, I lost Bedrosian, then K-Rod lost his job. I just needed somebody that could pick up some saves, and I picked up Rodney. And George literally texted me after I told him that. He's like, I didn't think you could find somebody with a higher ERA than K-Rod, but you did it. And Rodney's ERA at the time was nearly 9, but I was like, well, he's got a few saves. I'll just see if he can turn it around. And it, literally from the time I picked him up, he's been on fire, so hopefully I've been clearly it was my positive impact and my positive thinking that has him doing that. I wanted to move over to the Rockies. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
Well, just real quick, if I could just touch back to what you said right before the break when you asked George about James Paxton. To me, if he comes back next week, I don't understand why Seattle would start him in Colorado when they could just wait 2 days and they're home on the second. Hopefully, as a Paxton owner in several spots, they rethink this. And if he does come back next week, it's at home in Seattle. Why would you put a guy that's been on the DL his first start back in Colorado? I think that's a terrible
George.
Move.
This is emotional for Matt. This is his guy. This is his guy.
Maybe if emotional, one, but Matt's 100% right.
He is right. I totally agree, but there's a little extra, a little something extra.
I'm not going to lie.
If Matt had one guy going into this season, it was Paxton. You're absolutely right, but a little something there, so I can appreciate that.
Think about it. A guy coming off injury – we all know, I think a lot of pitchers pitch differently in Colorado because they know the ball flies out of there. So they don't pitch like their normal selves. So why would you want to pitch a guy coming off injury who might alter his mechanics, or might do something stupid, try to overthrow the ball, whatever it is, because he's pitching in Colorado? I think Matt makes I understand Seattle has no pitchers left. They're all on the DL, and maybe they have no choice. But he's back fine. We got to get him in there. But isn't Paxton your long-term future here? Career future ace. Maybe he's better than Felix Hernandez even now. So shouldn't you be doing everything you can to take care of him? So I understand. I know Matt's got a man crush on Paxton. He has him in like 98 teams. I get it. But he's right here. I think Seattle is not thinking long term here by starting him in Colorado. It's two freaking days. I'd wait.
And it puts a manager in a difficult spot too, because you don't want to push Paxton at all, and you certainly don't want him to get rocked first time out there. And then he's coming off of injury, so how long could he possibly go in the game? You're potentially taxing your bullpen. There's a lot of things that the manager probably doesn't even want to deal with in having him out there. As you said, though, they lost four-fifths of the rotation. They might not have any choice, so we will still be speaking of Colorado to make that transition. A guy that I just feel like in some ways you didn't really want to give him credit, but he keeps battling back. Antonio Senzatela last night goes to 7-1, 8 innings last night of shutout ball, only 3 Ks, but he battles Carlos Martinez, and he gets the win, the 10-0 win over the Cardinals. And I would say that I was out in Colorado this week, spent a day in Denver, and drove all over the state of Colorado, including up to Wyoming. And I got to tell you, it may not be the biggest baseball town in the world, but they are pumped right now. Fans out there are fired up. I was listening to sports radio. It was like a breath of fresh air. They kind of had no expectations, or they didn't have this level of expectations for this Rockies team, which is now 32-18 and the second best record in baseball, the best in the National League. The only team better in all of Major League Baseball is the Houston Astros. So it's got to be a surprise, and Senzatela is kind of leading the way with the surprise, Matt.
Absolutely. Senzatela, to me, makes absolutely no sense. What this guy's doing, I mean, he just keeps defying everything I believe in. He's got a 5.5 K per nine, a 6.1 swinging strike percentage. The FIP and the XFIP both say he's like a mid-4 ERA pitcher, but you know what? The left on base percentage is like 80%, the BABIP 250. But the guy keeps getting it done. I got to think sooner or later. The one thing about this Rockies rotation is they've been great. The Rockies are playing really good baseball. But now it's the end of May. I want to see where this rotation is at the end of July. Let's see what the next 2 months bring. Hopefully John Gray's back in 3 weeks. But a lot of guys, even like Kyle Freeland, he gets the ground balls, but the strikeouts minus walks is, he just doesn't miss bats. And he's another guy that's pitching well that, I just don't know how long this is sustainable.
George, on the hitting side of things, raise your hand if you had Mark Reynolds at a .315 batting average right now. He goes 2-for-4 last night with 3 ribbies.
No, my hand is not raised. It's firmly at my side here. Listen, he's having a great season, playing well. But what I'm worried about here has been Reynolds. You're throwing Desmond there. Dahl's coming back within 2 weeks. Somebody can't play. Maybe more than one somebody. You can throw Parra in here as well. Blackman's going to play, right? They're not going to send him. I think Cargo plays. Which means you're running out of spots here for all these guys to play. Are you going to platoon Dahl and Reynolds? Lefty-righty thing here? Maybe. Does Desmond sit sometimes? Going to be a little bit of playing time problems in Colorado once everyone's healthy.
Reynolds hit his 13th homer last night.
Trade, sell high.
Yeah, it's a good point.
As much as we say sell high with Reynolds, I was not a believer neither coming into the season. But if you look, since he's been with the Rockies last year in 631 plate appearances, he has a .292 average. You know, he's slugging over over 800 for them. 27 homers, 95 RBIs. So, I mean, in Colorado, when you know, he's a guy that you could platoon in deeper leagues and get and take advantage of that.
The problem is, though, unless you're in a daily lineup league, he's going to lose playing time. He's already sat, what, three times this week?
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're all making good points.
That's going to be an issue. I would move if you can get fair price for him. I think he's going to continue to hit. I'm not worried about him hitting. But that playing time is going to be a – I mean, I think I'd move all these guys, with the exception of Blackman and Cargo. I'd move the rest of them if I can. If I get a fair price for him, because I think it's going to drive you insane when these guys play four games a week, five games a week. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's going to end up being – I have a team that's – every night I have three guys sitting. Contreras, who Joe Maddon won't play. It's all these guys in Detroit. It drives me – it makes me angry.
I feel like I'm constantly waiting for a Javi Baez lineup alert on my daily lineup situation. So
yeah, but you had to know that was coming. Don't feel bad for it. That was always going to happen.
I did. I absolutely knew it was coming. So, but it's the guy I always have to keep an eye on. It's just every day, and I have to know whether he's in or out. So, back to the Colorado game. Charlie Blackman, we mentioned earlier, 4-for-4. Nolan Arenado, 2-for-4. Two runs scored. They had 14 hits last night. So across the board, they put up some hits. Carlos Martinez actually pitched well, right? 7 1/3, Matt. 6 hits. He gave up 3 earned and 2 walks, but he had 9 strikeouts. He just, you know, gave up a home run, and he wasn't as good as Sensatella.
Yeah, no, what Seymour did last night at Coors is, you know, you'll take that every single time. I mean, like you said, he gave up 3 runs over 7 1/3. That's great. 9 strikeouts. Unfortunately, you know, these Rocky pitchers are pitching out of their minds right now. And I just, you know, I can't be rational about it anymore.
I'll go over to one more game before we hit the break. And Matt, it's going to be, I'm going to let you crow a little bit because the Mets will win 8-1. The guy that I still regret most not having on my fantasy baseball team pitched a gem last night. Jacob DeGrom, 8 1/3, gives up the 1 run and 10 strikeouts, dominated the Pirates, Matt.
Well, the one thing I don't understand is why haven't the Mets, like I said, let's sign this guy up right now, lock him up. You know, him and hopefully Thor comes back in a couple of months. Harvey's gone. But DeGrom has been pretty much excellent. Besides the ERA, if you look past the ERA, the xFIP, which is a indicator that I love, he's been pretty much top five all year with that. The strikeout percentage, he's been top five with that. Swinging strike percentage. And these are the things I love to look at. And, you know, hopefully he just stays healthy. That's the only thing. I'm not worried about the surgery from last season. I wasn't worried coming in. I heard Ron Darling last winter talk about it. He had the same procedure. So that's why I was high on him. So as a Mets fan, I'm always nervous because, you know, we're just waiting for the next bad news to drop. So hopefully he's the one bright spot.
George, Neil Walker dominant last night. 3-for-5, 4 ribbies. Neil Walker with 2 homers, George.
Woohoo! Maybe you started it this week. Yes, and Walker can hit a little bit. I'm not so sure I would have given him that contract, though, if I was the Mets.
Yeah. Aging second baseman with a back injury. Let's give him a ton of money. Back after the break. Mike, Matt, and George. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Now you can take us with you where we go. So download the Fantasy Sports Radio app. It's the world's premier 24/7 Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can download on the iTunes Store, on Google Play, and listen for free anytime, anywhere. You can hear us chatter on about Antonio Sensatella and the amount of money that the Mets gave to Neil Walker, despite the fact that he was coming off of back surgery. We can talk about why I didn't pick up Aaron Hicks earlier this week when I had an opportunity to. Ultimately, you can get the Fantasy Sports Radio app for free right now in the iTunes Store, on Google Play, and take the experts with you. Later today, you're going to hear Tony Cincotta and Chuck Gotcha on Fantasy Bagels and Baseball. After that, it's the Weekend Fantasy Update with Joe Gallina, Frank Stanfill, and Mike Florio. Listen to all of us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app. So thank you for listening. Thanks for sharing your Memorial Day. And I made a note to myself earlier this week because I wanted to talk to you guys about it. I am in a shallower league. It's only 10 teams. So I had Aaron Hicks, Delino DeShields, David Peralta, looking at all three of those guys. Obviously, Hicks brings the power, and he's got some speed too. But I was maybe thinking of adding some steals with DeShields. How would you rank those guys for the rest of the season, Hicks, Peralta, DeShields? Matt, you first.
I really like Aaron Hicks if the playing time is there. This was a guy that we were waiting on for years. I think he's finally coming into his own. As far as the players, like I said, if he gets the playing time, it's Hicks for me. I do still like David Peralta. I would put him number two and then DeShields, but with the caveat, if you do need the speed and you just want that speed-only guy, then you got to move Delino DeShields up.
George, you feel any differently?
Yeah, I was going to put it the same way that you mentioned him in. Hicks, playing time is the issue there. Ellsbury's on with DL now. Matter of fact, I think Ellsbury's going to be put on with DL for an extra week after Hicks hit the wall last night. I think they gave Ellsbury some bad flashbacks. So, I mean, Ellsbury, he's had a solid season, but Hicks has had a very good season. Provides power, speed, good defensive player, regardless of another dive he took last night where he let the ball get past him. Peralta, a solid hitter. I like him as well. If I knew he was going to play every day, he'd be interesting. And I think what Matt said about DeShields is perfect. You need speed, you move him up. And listen, we're almost in June now. You know, I think we discussed this on Old School Fantasy yesterday, Matt, Corey, and I, that you start looking at categories now. You know, and you start maybe drop some players who aren't playing well. It's 2 months in. Now, it's not really a slow start anymore. Maybe it's a bad season. So I might be looking to add speed if my category of stolen bases, you know, not doing so well, which in most of my league, I'm probably in the middle of the pack. Maybe I can move up a couple of slots. The Shields could be the guy you want here.
That's sort of exactly what I did, actually, but I opted for, instead of adding one of those outfielders, I actually opted for Kota Glover because I wanted to bump up the saves a little bit, maybe work on, I think I released a starting pitcher, too. I can't even remember who it was. Just kind of work on.
So you gave Matt and I three names, and then you went with somebody totally different. So what, you set
because
Matt
I think
and
I regret Because I think I regret not picking up Hicks. I could have cut somebody like... I don't know. I mean, Brandon Drury's playing really well. So I had David Freese there, and I just feel like he's going to fall apart. A few guys I was looking at, and I regret. By the way, I picked up David Freese, and I cut Justin Smoke because I thought Smoke was, like, I just thought I'd
you were complaining
capitalized
about this last
on
week
his
too.
One month.
Get over
so,
it.
I know. It's my fault. So I could have one of these outfielders here, but I have a lot of good outfielders. Like, what am I, you know, it wasn't a position of ultimate need. I have Judge, Kane, Stanton, Drury, Conforto, Peraza, like all these guys I can get in there. So I didn't feel like I needed to necessarily add another outfielder. So that's where I'm at. So we'll see. Hopefully Kota Glover adds some saves. I can't win the category, but I'm just trying to work on numbers. As you said, I'm trying to adjust those ratios. My hitting's been fine. I got to get those pitching ratios a little bit better. So we'll see. But I'll take some more heat from George and Matt in the next hour.
Yes, you will.
but we'll be back. We're going to talk some football in the next hour. And I promise I'm going to give these guys
I'm yelling at Corey in the next
to
hour,
talk
too.
Mike, Matt, and George back with hour number two on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Mike and George are back along with Matt Modica on the Roto Experts in the Morning, hour number two on this Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're enjoying your Saturday morning. Thank you for spending it with us. So, what Memorial Day weekend, some people have traditions doing this. Barbecues are abound. My family is out, a little summer cottage situation. I'll be joining them after the show for the day. Matt, what do you got planned? I mean, it's a mancation for you, so does that allow you to break away and get to a couple of barbecues? What do you got planned?
Not too much. I'm going to be deep diving on starting pitching this weekend, put my rest of the season rankings out right after Memorial Day is over. So nothing too exciting, unfortunately. You know, I guess, you know, wife's not here. I'm getting older, so just chilling.
Yeah. The life of a fantasy expert doing a deep dive on starting pitching. George, I feel like you're going to get the fire pit going. You're going to grill up some meat. I feel like that's what you're doing.
This is wrong. I'm a biggest sports guy as the next person. I love watching the games. Matt, you're alone. You're alone. You got to take advantage of this. You got 36 hours of freedom. I mean, it's a little different for me. For me to get freedom means the kids are gone too. But when I get that chance, I enjoy that. One of the best Father's Day gifts I ever got from my wife was about 2 years ago. She goes, "I'm taking the kids and going to my sister's." Yes.
Yeah.
Freedom. I got to watch the games all day. It was fantastic. And I love my kids dearly, but it still was, man, you got to take advantage of this. As for me, I'm hanging out with friends today almost immediately after the show. Tomorrow, you nailed it, Mike. We'll be having a barbecue here, doing some yard work. My wife's been doing garden work, which means, of course, that I have to do garden work as well. So fun for me, but I will take somewhat advantage of it.
Good stuff. All right, so here's we're going to have about 90 seconds we're going to do on the Stanley Cup Finals. So, George, what do you got here? What do you got here? Preds were the least they scored the least points of any team that made the playoffs, so effectively the 16 seed, and here they
now
are.
Now we don't even get 90
Pittsburgh.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Now we get like 70
I wanted to
seconds.
Set it up.
I think Matt, Pete, and I are taking over the rest of the show from you, Mike. Okay, we're just going to talk
sounds
hockey.
Good. My rest of my weekend off. Yeah.
Should be a fun finals. Pittsburgh, they have the offense. Nashville has the defense. That's what really you're going to see here. Nashville's down Ryan Johansson, maybe their best offensive player. He's out with the hip injury. He had compartment syndrome. Pretty nasty little injury. Very serious there. He's gone. Chris Letang obviously still gone for Pittsburgh. So, in a way, it's offense versus defense. You got Pekka Rinne, who may be the leader right now for the Conn Smythe Trophy. He's going to have to play fantastic. Probably pretty close as well as Craig Anderson did for Ottawa in the last round. And Pittsburgh can just play their game. They have the superstars. You got Sidney Crosby, Jenny Malkin, Phil Kessel. Yeah, it should be a fun series to watch. There is nobody happier than the NHL and NBC than Chris Kunitz scored in that double overtime because
nobody
wanted Ottawa and Nashville in the finals.
Yeah, it was going to be brutal on ratings. Matt, how many games does this go?
Preds in seven.
Whoa! Pete Contadori, what do you got? He's got nothing. He'll tell us after the break. All right. We're back with some sort of odd reflective music here. It's like Enya. I feel like I'm getting a massage. I wish I was getting a massage, but this is like the type of music they play when you're getting a massage. Anyway.
What kind of massage do you wish you were getting?
Just a regular standard one,
yeah,
George. No funny,
sure.
No funny business. No
all
funny
right,
business here.
That's what we all wish. Yeah, a regular standard one. Sure.
Yeah. I don't go for the shady stuff, which you can find all over Manhattan, frankly. Probably not far from the studio. None of them are sponsors, so I feel like I can say what I want, but there's a lot of shady business going on in and around the Penn Station area. So,
you're kidding.
Yeah. No shock to – so maybe perhaps a shock to some of our listeners, but those listeners are outside of the greater New York metropolitan area. So I could just tell you that a lot of funny business going on. In any event, as we really started to go off the rails there, thankfully Tony Cincotta's not on with us or we would have spent – two segments talking about that.
Speaking of Cincotta, would it kill you, Tony, to make a pick in the mock draft? All right, I know you're listening, Tony.
Jeez, yeah.
All right, you're going
on
4+ hours here.
He's
and by the way, like Corey, I said I was going to yell about Corey. You know, Corey's we're doing the mock draft. Corey, I love where he had to redo one of his picks, right? And I know you know this, Mike. You're in the league. Now, in this site, I understand the site's terrible. What Mike said earlier is absolutely true. I won't name the site. This site is pathetic. But, you know, you have to pick a player, then you click, oh, yes, I want to draft that player. So you have to click twice. Yet Corey still needed to back out a pick. And then he lets his time run out yesterday. 6 hours, he lets his time run out and ends up selecting Matt Ryan. I'm waiting for him to want to back out this pick as well. So the fantasy exec, he's sleeping at the wheel.
Is he drafting a quarterback?
That had to be a mistake.
Quarterback? So, well, we'll talk about match draft first because I want to get to the disaster. Like I said, I'm not going to name the site. It's terrible. We have access to all the sites in the world, literally. because we get, if you had to pay for it, we get a freebie. So because we would promo them and talk about them on air. And we got this site, which I can't even promo because it's terrible.
We have to use fake names. We're in round five, folks. Round five. And we have to use fake names because they don't have Joe Mixon's not in there. And there's another player that's not in there. I can't remember. Oh, Marshawn Lynch isn't in there. Not in the database. Right. So someone had to take Paxton Lynch and put it in for Marshawn Lynch. And someone took someone named Nix. Lance Nix.
Yeah, Roosevelt Nix. Roosevelt Nix in the second round. I was like, what the hell is happening here? Anyway, let me get my team's a disaster because the way the thing's sorted, A.J. Green didn't come up. I didn't even draft him.
That's on you, though. You should know. Never trust a site's rankings. Never trust a site.
I know.
Print out your own list.
I know. You're right, but I forgot we were doing it, and I was on my phone in, like, the middle of Wyoming, anyway.
They have phones in Wyoming?
Well, on my cell phone. They have shoddy service, though. I'll say that. So can I just get to Matt's draft, please? You can stop yelling for a moment. It's Memorial Day.
What's the capital of Wyoming?
People trying to show them. Cheyenne. We did this last week.
I know.
I drove through it. So in any event, Matt, your draft. It is an NFFC draft. This isn't a mock draft, right? You guys are going to play this out?
No. This is going to be played out. There's an overall competition. There's, you had to pay to play in this league.
So 12 teams. It's a PPR league. You said it was draft and hold, meaning it's big drafts and no waiver pickups?
There's no in-season pickups. So that's why you'll see like multiple quarterbacks for each teams.
Got it. Okay. And you picked fifth. So since the PPR, it went David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. Somebody actually went Antonio Brown third, and then Zeke Elliott goes fourth. So a little bit of a departure from what we've seen with those first three picks being the backs, but that's nothing egregious. And you go Odell at five. So you obviously like him here over Julio, over A.J. Green, over Mike Evans, over Jordy Nelson, which were the next few picks.
It was actually really I really wanted to take Julio Jones. I'm just – that foot scares the hell out of me. The fact that he doesn't really score touchdowns, too, is another thing. So I went with Odell on the basis that I don't think he's had his best season yet. I think the touchdowns will improve this season, or he's just a lock to get, like, 12 touchdowns. I do like Mike Evans a lot. I have nothing against A.J. Green. I would be more than happy to have the eighth pick and take A.J. Green. But I do see a lot of so-called experts. I do like consensus ranks that I put together. And majority of people have A.J. Green ahead of Mike Evans, which I do have a little bit of a problem with. Especially the fact that A.J. Green...
I do not... Yeah.
A.J. Green's...
Yeah, go ahead.
He's missed some games, two out of the last 3 years. I think it's 10, 12, and 16 that he's played. So, there's that.
I mean, I think A.J. Green's one of the best receivers in football. I think he's in the elite group with Brown and Beckham and Jones. I think that's the four guys. But I think Mike Evans going into this season is a more valuable fantasy asset, George. Do you agree?
Yeah, my rankings aren't up yet. My rankings will be out for the draft kit on June 5th. So a little that's the Roto Experts draft kit, along with a couple of other columns that I will write or that I am writing right now. And I will have
exclusive Edge draft package. Nice promotion right there. Get it. Go to Roto Experts and get your exclusive Edge draft package for football coming up here in June. We release it on June 5th or June 6th.
Yeah, I'm a team player here. Yeah, that's right. Ring that
bell. Well done. Well done.
So I have Evans ahead of Green. I mean, once again, we're talking the number four wide receiver and the number five. So it's nitpicking here, and I generally don't bother with that. If you want to take Green over Evans, fine. I would have Evans over Green, and that won't change by the fifth. I like Evans this year. I can make an argument that Evans should be over Jones, because of the injury concerns with Julio Jones there. So bottom line is they're all going in the first round. You're going to get a great player no matter what.
Yeah. The round finished out. Like I said, those receivers, receiver run right there. The round finishes up. They bookended with the running backs. Melvin Gordon, LeSean McCoy, Devontae Freeman. Jordan Howard goes first pick, second round. Any problems there, George? You have anybody there that you don't see normally as a first-round pick?
No, you're looking at it, and Jordy Nelson going nine, but once again, we're talking about maybe instead of nine, I would have him at 11 or 12. You're talking, slots. No big deals here. Freeman went maybe a little earlier than I would have thought. Maybe he should have gone, I might have reversed him and Nelson. But other than that, no. I look for a while. I mean, Fournette going at, what, 16 would probably be the first thing. Like, okay, someone really believes he's going to turn it
up. Yes, I agree.
You know, that. But other than that, that's really about it. Gurley going, what, 21 it looks like? That yes. would that raises some eyebrows as well.
So this is exactly what I was going to talk about. I think it's the most interesting part because you have guys going in the second round that I think experts are going to have a bit of a variance on. Leonard Fournette, as you said, going around 16. JHI, middle of the second round. Matt actually took Doug Baldwin, which I kind of like there. Sometimes that name doesn't resonate with people, but Doug Baldwin is money in PPR leagues. I have him in Dynasty League for years, and he's producing. So Leonard Fournette, JHI, Todd Gurley, DeMarco Murray all go in the second round. DeMarco Murray, the last pick of the second round. So I think we're going to see a really somewhat volatile situation with these backs, Matt, because some people are going to just take the plunge and other people are going to say, I don't want to pay for these guys. Do you think that's accurate?
I think that's totally accurate. Just for note, if you're looking at the board, I did tweet out the board as well. It is a third round reversal. So just when you look at it, it is third round reversal. But yes, I totally agree. I mean, one of the guys that's getting tremendous love is Jay Ajayi. Reports out of Miami, you know, the preseason hype is possibly getting 350 carries and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. He does grade very well. If you look at certain sites like PFP, they have him as like their top elusive back. I mean, if I'm Miami, I'm going to, you know, run this guy into the ground, give him some short passes as well. But I'm more of the receiver kind of guy. Unless I'm picking at the back end, I would have no problem, let's say, the start Team 10 had with Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas, or Melvin Gordon and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, so Matt went Odell Beckham, Doug Baldwin, Sammy Watkins, his first three picks. Your first running back is Joe Mixon in the fourth round, and you got Danny Woodhead and Kareem Hunt in here. So those are some guys, two rookies actually, that you believe in, and Woodhead obviously complimenting in a PPR fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I just, from everything I've seen out of Cincinnati, from Andy Dalton saying, with Joe Mixon in there, we don't have to change our scheme. They don't know if we're running or throwing. For them to draft him with, you know, early second-round pick, I thought somebody would take him late in the first. They pretty much, I mean, they're not shy about taking bad characters, if you want to use that term. But taking that PR hit, they're going to play this kid. Hill is, you know, looking terrible. Giovanni Bernard is possibly going to be ready for week one. So I just think everything lines up for this kid to get the opportunity to be a bell cow.
Yeah, George, you know, those running backs are going to be pretty volatile. As we know, there's always a few guys that pop up out of nowhere. But one guy that I've seen now, both in this draft and in our draft, and you snuck him, you got him away from me, is Isaiah Crowell. I feel like his stock is on the rise. Do you agree?
Oh, is that why you were so mad? I was wondering why you yelled at me in the queue. I mean, it just comes down to where he was the best player available. The league we're in, the mock, that's a standard draft, so running backs are more important. I don't know if I would have made that same move in a PPR league.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about football. I want to talk about the Dolphins as well. Mike, Matt, and George back after this. I kind of like this. This is got like a 70s Jackson 5 thing going. I don't know what it is. I kind of want to dance around. This is Memorial Day.
Yeah, it kind of makes me feel like I'm in a disco in the bathroom or something, doing something I shouldn't be.
Yeah. As we talk about shady business.
God, we got massages going on here.
Yes. Illicit
behavior.
Where's
Cha-Cha?
Yeah. Yeah, Cha-Cha would really bring this over the top to another level. But in any event, you know, something I wanted to talk about is because we talked about Jay Ajayi, and it just has me thinking, like, I think Adam Gase might have been the perfect coach at the right time for the Dolphins. It doesn't mean they're taking over and winning that division. It certainly doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is I feel like if that offensive line, which they've made some additions to, can get in the right position to, you know, they added Larry Mantunsil. They got him sort of as a gift. He's going to be the new left tackle. They got Mike Pouncey there. They had Jamron Bushrod and a few other guys. And I'm going to be writing about the offensive lines, by the way, for the Exclusive Edge draft package, if you want to ring that bell. So they added Julius Thomas through the, there we go. Julius Thomas they added in a trade, and apparently he doesn't like to block, but who cares? I feel like the reason I'm doing this long setup is I feel like there's now a lot of talent around Tannehill to probably keep him out of trouble, right? We've had some issues with him turning the ball over, George, and now we got a Jai. We got an offensive line that's in the process of being fixed. Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills that they committed to, Jarvis Landry. Like, there's now a lot of weapons around there. This offense, I feel like, could step up to another level and have Tannehill out of trouble because he's not having to win games on his own.
The talent is there. I think you're correct. I mean, the offensive line is still a work in progress, and as we've seen over and over again, you need that to really play well, really to get everything going. Tunsil, we don't know how well he's going to do in his first season at left tackle. You know, Pouncey's always hurt, it seems like, right? You know, so there's still some issues there. Everybody else on the line is really average at best, and that's probably being nice. Tannehill, he's over the ACL. They say that's completely recovered, even though he didn't have surgery. But will it hurt his mobility some? Probably going to play with a brace. So maybe that makes you worry a little bit. Ajayi, for as good a year as he had last year, as we discussed during the week on Old School Fantasy with Matt, that pretty much came against the Buffalo Bills. Right? He destroyed them in two games. Not that he didn't have any other good games, but a big chunk of what he did really came against Buffalo, 214 in Week 7, Buffalo 206 in Week 16. He also had 204 against Pittsburgh in Week 6. So listen, he destroyed all your teams. Isn't that nice? But Pittsburgh still won the games. So yeah. In three games, he had 600 of his yards. I mean, that's half. He had half of his total yardage in three games. So there is some concern there. He also had other starts with 14, 28, 33, 42 yards, 45, 61, 48, 51, 59. He had a lot of weeks where he didn't help you. So it does make – there is some cause for some for concern here. I think the passing game is going to be solid with Jarvis Landry. Julius Thomas right now they're saying he does not have good chemistry with Tannehill. I don't know how important that is on May 27th. Talk to me on August 27th. Yeah, they'll have 3 months to get that down. Thomas had his best seasons with Adam Gase in Denver. So maybe he knows how to use him, especially in the red zone. If Stills can continue to be that deep threat, if Parker can take a next step up, this offense has a chance to be, I don't want to say formidable. It's not the Patriots. It's not the Steelers. They're not going to score 48,000 points a game. But they can be dangerous.
Matt, if you were buying one guy in this offense, not named Landry in a PPR league, because you're in that PPR draft that's going on right now, so Landry's kind of the easy answer there because he catches so many balls. But who's the guy that you'd want here? Is it a Jai Parker, Tannehill in a two-quarterback league? You know, is that a guy that you're buying out?
You know, I would probably take the shot and pay up on Jai. He's, to me, the most tough player for me to rank. Do I go in on him? Do I stay away? I mean, 58 forced missed tackles ranked first in the NFL last season. As George did state, you look at the production, where it came from, you know, it's kind of skewed. But everything you hear out of Miami, Ajayi is like, you know, the next coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to get 350 carries. He's going to get a lot more receptions out of the backfield. So if this is true that they're really just going to dedicate that much to him, then yes, Ajayi is worth paying up for. As far as Parker goes, I do believe he's a guy that, if he does hit, will be a guy that can help you win leagues, because you're going to get him later on, and if everything comes to fruition and that talent prevails, he will be that lottery ticket that does win you leagues.
Oh, absolutely. Say it. I said this at the time. The only wide receiver I really expected Devontae Parker to be an excellent NFL wide receiver. I still think that's there. Amari Cooper was in the same draft as him, and I thought it was going to be really close. I would, between the two and how good an NFL players they would be. Obviously, I'm wrong so far. Amari has been far superior, but Parker's been hurt too. You know, he was hurt in college too. His last year at Louisville, he was out like 8 games with a broken foot, but when he came back, he put on a show. So hopefully he can stay healthy, get a little bit more acclimated between Tannehill and Gase offense, and Hopefully he'll be off to the races. He's a guy I wish I had in keeper leagues, and I would buy on him personally as well. George, anybody, anything else to add there regarding the Dolphins? Anything about the wide receivers you expect to break out there?
No, I have a funny feeling I'm going to die with Julius Thomas in a lot of leagues. I love his. I've always loved his talent. I'm going to buy the Adam Gase thing. Tannehill has shown a proclivity to throw to a tight end, especially in the red zone, in the past, especially when he had someone he trusts. So I don't sound excited about it, do I? Because I know it's going to be a mistake. But since I know I'm going to wait on tight ends in drafts, I always do. I know I'm going to end up having Thomas on more teams than I really want. And it's either going to be a boom or bust for me.
I think that's the thing, George, is that position has been such a mess for the last couple of years. How could we be excited about anybody? Like, you want to go up and pay for Travis Kelce? Go ahead. He's a great player, so do it. But I'm not going to do that. And you can go up and pay for Jordan Reed, and then what happens if he has another concussion? He might retire. And then you got Gronk, who's always Gronk, right? He could be the best player in the league. He could be out for 10 games. And, you know, that seems to be more often the case than not lately. So I'm going to wait, and then I'm going to wait for guys that we don't know what's going to happen, right? It could be Jimmy Graham. It could be Eric Ebron. It could be Tyler Eifert. It could be all of these guys, Matt. So it's hard to get excited about tight ends in general. I notice you're through 9 rounds. You don't have one yet, so you're waiting as well.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought the tight end position up, because I'm going to ask you guys a question. With my next pick, I am looking to take a tight end, especially, you know, in this format where I can't use the waiver wire. I'm looking at Kyle Rudolph or Marty Bennett. Which guy do you guys prefer?
That's a really good one. Because in that Vikings offense, Kyle Rudolph just catches so many passes. It's not pretty, but he catches enough passes to make himself valuable. Does Bennett click with Rodgers in one season and just become like a one-year superstar? I think I'm more likely to take Rudolph than Bennett. George, how about you?
I think you guys are sort of hinting at it. It's risk-reward. I think Rudolph is safer. PPR, he's almost gold. You know Bradford's going to throw them over and over again. We saw that last year. He doesn't look past the line of scrimmage anyway. Bennett, I think, could end up – he could be a bust with Green Bay if Rodgers and him don't have chemistry, or if Bennett gets hurt again or whatever. But if he clicks with Rodgers in that offense, he could be a huge red zone target, and he could be a monster. Rudolph, more of a safer play. But once again, I think since I wait on tight end, I'm probably going to take some risk here, and I'll go with Bennett.
This is Martellus Bennett's fifth team. He's in his, I guess this is going to be his 10th season. Everybody thought he was going to blow the roof off of the place in New England last year, especially when Gronk went out, and it didn't happen. And by all accounts, he was a good citizen. You know, he's got a reputation. He and his brother have a reputation for being straight shooters, and some guys think they're maybe not great teammates. But, you know, the more I hear about them, I think they're just outspoken. I don't think that necessarily makes them bad teammates. But I would say, why is Martellus Bennett on so many teams? And why doesn't he explode into a 1,000-yard season? He had the great season with the Bears in his one Pro Bowl season, 90 catches for 916 yards and 6 touchdowns. It was Jay Cutler throwing the ball all over the place. That was with Adam Gase, by the way, I believe, in Chicago. So, Matt, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know why I should count on Martellus Bennett doing it again. The last time he did it was 3 years ago. Why is he going to do it? I know it's Aaron Rodgers, but everybody thought Jared Cook was going to be great. Jared Cook stinks. He's not that great. He's all over the place, all over the league.
As a Cowboy fan, I may disagree with that.
I know. I'm sorry. He made the one play of his life. It's the one play of his life. He'll be remembered for that one play. It's the best play he ever made. And by the way, it was a better throw than a catch anyway. So
you're much kinder to Jared Cook than Corey would be.
80-yard field goals.
Jared Cook's terrible. He's not any good in for fantasy. I know he's hanging around the league, and he's obviously a talented player in the context of the NFL and what they need, but he's nothing for fantasy purposes. And every year people tried to count on him when he was at the Rams. I was always stunned. I maybe used him for DFS once or twice in the last several years just because of a matchup issue. And, you know, even then he probably barely
So we can scratch Cook off your Christmas card list.
I would say so, and I'm probably off his as well. So in any event, yeah. So that's sort of – I didn't mean to equate Martellus Bennett to Jared Cook, but in that sense, Matt, I don't know why I should count on him this year.
Yeah, you know, no, I mean? I understand what you're saying. I think if Rudolph is there, I think in this format, just to get that safe production, I'd probably take him. One thing I would like to touch on, maybe real quick after the break, if we run out of time here, is the I think there's a misnomer. Everybody says like the wide receivers are so deep. I think as you get into the draft, like those these middle rounds and stuff, I think there's plenty of running backs that I do like, and the wide receivers start to dry up. I'm obviously talking in a PPR format and stuff, but that's the thing that I'm getting. Everybody was saying, like, you know, running backs are so shallow, and the wide receivers so deep. I think if you do a draft, it's a little different.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll dive into a little bit of your draft and our draft as well, because I think I know what you're talking about, but we can discuss it after the break. It's Mike, Matt, and George on this Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back, talk a little bit more football after the break before we head it over to Tony Cicada and Cha-Cha at the top of the hour. We'll be back. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike, Matt, and George talking some football. Got Tony Sakana, Cha-Cha, top of the hour. Then after that, it'll be the weekend fantasy update with Joe Galina, Frank Stample, and Mike Florio. George, this slow draft is going on.
Don't start, because I'm going to go off. Tony, what's Corey doing?
Tony did make a pick, but I'm trying to put guys in my queue that are listed. And it's saying that they've already been drafted. So this site has gone from bad to worse.
I don't think it's a site this time. I think Corey needed another pick backed out. The fantasy executives have some issues here. For a guy who lives on his cell phone, not to be able to figure this out is scary. Because I think he had the Matt Ryan pick backed out. And then he took Jordan Reed, even though the site had Tony as taking Jordan Reed. I've had to update it about 17 times.
Corey, if you're listening, tough. You just got to keep the bad picks. I dealt with me making a mistake in the first round, which, by the way, I'm not. I think Michael Thomas is a first round pick in a standard league. I'm okay with. I just meant to. I would have had AJ Green if I had my stuff together while I was on the road. I ended up picking Jordy Nelson with my other pick. Then I got Mark Ingram. I wanted a wraparound to get Isaiah Crowell. George snaked him from me. George has the 12-13 deal there. The back to back picks, end of the first round. I'm right in front of him. I have Crabtree as my next pick, and I'm kind of waiting on my next one here. Looking at
hope Florio takes Crabtree. Mike, take Crabtree.
No, I got Crabtree.
Oh, okay. They say he was on your next.
I got
pick.
Crabtree. No, he was. You picked next. He was. Yes, I'm after this, and I got two guys lined up. One of whom we just talked about. So there's a little bit of a tease. So,
oh, you're not going to tell us? What are you afraid? It's a mock draft. I'm taking Travis Kelce at 12. He lasts that long. Okay.
Jarvis, excuse me.
Oh, my God, he's dying.
He got me all choked up. Jarvis Landry is the guy that I'm looking at, even though it's a standard league. I'm looking at Jarvis Landry there. But I got a running back that I need to take as well.
Wow.
Sorry. Yeah.
Wow, Matt, he's excuse dying, me. Matt.
Hey,
Jarvis Landry, he starts choking.
Quick question.
So, let's talk about what you wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go.
Well, I had a quick question.
No, go ahead, Mike. What's your question?
In your mock. Yeah. You started up Michael Thomas and Jordy Nelson?
Yes.
I mean, I'm
Yeah, Jordy was like a second-round pick.
Yeah, I think for even in a standard league, I think that's pretty damn good. Michael Thomas, I think, had like the fourth best rookie wide receiver season in fantasy all time. So
I think
he is, you know, you put the Drew Brees factor – Michael Thomas, I think the end zone, you know, he is the guy there. I mean, I do like Willie Snead and the others on that team, but he is the predominant player in that system. So, and Jordy's just a touchdown maker. As long as he's healthy, he's Aaron Rodgers' guy. So I don't think that's a bad start.
Yeah, I got Michael Thomas. George went with LeSean McCoy and A.J. Green, which I like, and then I got Jordy. My debate was either Jordy or Jordan Howard. I think Jordy's, based on track record, I think Jordy's a little bit more bankable than Jordan Howard is. And it's not, I'm not denigrating Jordan Howard, it's just sort of how I feel about it. I think he's a little bit more of a bankable player. That's what you go with. Best player available. I would have him ranked higher. So, but getting back to what you wanted to talk about, you know, you're talking about how you think wide receivers actually get a little bit thinner as we go down, and you like the value of some of these running backs as you get a little bit later into drafts. And I can tell you right now, based on our draft that we're going through, maybe you're right, because, you know, I got guys here like that are still available, like Gio Bernard or Jeremy Hill. Derrick Henry still available right here. Matt
I'm not
Forte.
So sure you want to bring up any of those guys in round five.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're breathing down the back of round six, though, George. And Derrick Henry is a guy that I'm looking at, because I don't know that DeMarco Murray is going to see that same workload. But who knows? I'm just talking about some of the guys that are available. We also have wide receivers. You know, it's Kenny Britt and Adam Thielen and Kenny Stills and some of those guys. So what do you think about Matt's point, is that maybe running backs are actually staying a little bit deeper in the mid rounds than wide receivers are comparatively? Do you agree with that premise, George?
I think it comes down to personal preference. No, running backs gets way too thin, way too quick. You really can't compare Matt's draft to our draft. Ours is a standard league. It changes things.
It's
running
true.
Backs are going to go earlier. We've seen it over and over again. I know my drafting is different. You know, in Matt's in a PPR league, I'm going to go wide receiver heavy generally. I don't know if I'll go zero running back strategy. It's rare I do that. I have done it, but it's generally not a plan. It just happens because the wide receiver available maybe around three is just better than the running back available there. But in a standard league, I'm looking for running backs first. It's the first thing I stand at. What running backs can I get here? You need those running backs. You need the points there. You're not going to get that extra reception. I prefer PPR leagues by far, at least a half point PPR, just to balance things out. But listen, standard leagues, I won't play in all that many of them. That's why I'm surprised we're doing a mock for it. I think one of my home leagues is a standard. No, sorry. That went to half point last year as well. So I probably won't play in any standard leagues this year.
George, the irony of this standard mock draft is that I did not sign up for it. I signed up for the Superflex and the IDP mocks, and then they were like, please join the standard mock draft. And I was like, well, all right.
Well, then you signed up for it. It said please. Then you weren't ordered to do it.
No, I didn't want to, you know, I'm a team player. I wanted to keep it. I wanted to, you know, support the team, support the Roto experts,
mocks.
And that's what I did.
I think mocks are great because you get an idea when your real drafts come. And I know Matt is already drafting real. Matt's league is legit. You know, but I enjoy mocks because I want to see where players are going. I want to get an idea of what kind of teams I have. I treat a mock like a real draft. I mean, maybe the wrong time, but I've broken plenty of pencil during a mock because Mike Blewett takes the player I wanted right before me. You know, it still annoys me that I didn't get my player. And if Matt,
yeah,
if
because
I'm
you're trying
Matt,
to. Sorry, go ahead.
If I'm in a mock with Matt Modique and he does it 3-4 times, right, because he's got the player before me, it'll drive me insane. That's why I really don't like players who think along the same line as I do, drafting anywhere near me.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to work out through your strategy, right? And you feel like you've maybe made a mistake in your strategy by not drafting player X at the right time. Matt, I want to talk to you about your team since, as George said, it is legit and you are going to keep these guys. There's no in-season pickup. So how many players do you roster, by the way?
I believe it's 35. Let me take a quick look.
Okay.
Yes, 35.
So pretty deep, and obviously. But what I'll say about your team, and I'm not saying it's bad, because considering the type of draft this is where you're not making pickups, it's okay to take some risk. But you got some real risk here early. Mm-hmm. Odell is great. Doug Baldwin's great. You got Sammy Watkins. We all know the risk there. It's an injury. If he's healthy, Sammy Watkins is a superstar. Then it's Joe Mixon. Then it's Martavis Bryant. I think we know what their issues are. Danny Woodhead coming off ACL, right? Mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt, rookie. Jameis Winston, who everybody expects to take a step up with the players that surround him. The only negative thing, and I'm a Jameis Winston believer, the one thing I would say is that his throwing metrics thus far in his career aren't as good as some of the other young quarterbacks, namely Mariota. He throws into traffic a lot. I think Mike Evans has saved him in many instances, and the talent around him could continue to save him because there is a lot of it with O.J. Howard added to the mix, and I think they added Chris Godwin in the middle round. So he's got massive guys around him, big targets. Hopefully Jameis can continue to fine-tune his accuracy. And then you got Tyrod Taylor there. Well, I'm not really a believer in as a player, but the fantasy stats don't lie. So tell me, are you – you're going a little bit riskier here because you know you can't make pickups. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. I thought with my start with Odell Beckham and getting Doug Baldwin in the second round, I think that solidified a nice foundation for wide receivers. Sammy Watkins in the third round, I'm just going to take time and time again. If he's there, he is a supreme talent if healthy. I mean, the targets in the games that he's played, obviously, that's the thing. In the games that he's played, I mean, he will be, if he plays 16 games, will definitely, in my opinion, be a top 10 and possibly even crack into the top 5. That's how good I think he is. Maybe you're going to say that's my Buffalo bias, and maybe it is a little, but I don't think it is, based on the research that I've done. Martavius Bryant, I get it. I would have probably taken Larry Fitzgerald there, but he was taking a pick before me. Thought about Brandon Marshall, but if Bryant gets reinstated, which I'm hoping he doesn't do anything stupid over the next couple of months, the upside is just so enormous. There is an overall to this as well, so I do want to take some home run shots. As far as my running backs go, I'm just going to bet on everything I mentioned about Joe Mixon previously. Danny Woodhead in a PPR format. The first 4 weeks, it's pretty much his gig. I'm not nervous about Terrence West. He is a stud in PPR. He even finds the end zone. Kareem Hunt, to me, will be that back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe it's not week one. It's not week two. But Andy Reid spent a high draft pick on him. I think the highest ever, third round pick. So, and what Andy Reid can do with the running back, what Kareem Hunt, he played in a smaller school, didn't get the notoriety, off the chart metrics. I forget the guy they comped him to. I know Mixon was comped to Matt Forte. That was his comp, and I'm trying to remember Kareem Hunt. He had a nice comp as well. So,
if Joe Mixon is Matt Forte, then I would be surprised. But that's a really nice comparison. George, I would ask you this based on what Matt was saying quickly. You tend to be a little bit more risk-averse, but format obviously can drive this sometimes. Are you okay based on this format with Matt playing it a little bit fast and loose here?
Yeah, I think that's another thing we need to remember here. This is a different format. This is not your standard league here. You know, you are playing guys where there's no moves, so you're going to have to draft multiple quarterbacks, probably multiple I would assume multiple tight ends as well. Mm-hmm. You know, something we generally may not do in regular leagues. So that does change things. I guess Matt has more experience in these leagues than I do. I have played in them, but Matt certainly has more. The one question I would ask with Matt, he sort of answered it, is that do you think to win this league you need to take chances? Do you need to go for those home run balls?
Yeah, I'm going to swing for the fences.
Yeah, I think it's the way to do it. That's how these formats can be. These expert leagues with no pickups, you're taking chances early, so it's going to look a little different from our standard draft boards. But come back to close it out on this Memorial Day Saturday. We'll be back after this. Unbelievable. I told you, George. You know what? I just should follow my own advice, and I'm trying to be a good radio host. And the reason we're laughing is because these mock drafts that we're doing right now is live, and Mike Florio is literally listening to the show because he's tweeting about it. Our fine colleague, Mike Florio. That
he sniped you.
That son of a gun. He sniped me because I was just talking about Jarvis Landry on the damn radio, and he took him in front of me. So that's where I'm at. He was
Mike
in my
comes
queue.
Along as being the nice guy, Florio, no, nice guy, little innocent guy, and he does that to you. Terrible.
Well, I'm taking Derrick Henry. So
well, you should have heard Scott throwing Mike Florio under the bus all week, and he said he'd even back the bus up on him.
Wow.
I think Blue was driving that bus.
What did Florio do to Scott?
I don't know. He must have pissed him off about something, but...
Yeah, well, it's a lot of Mets, like, angst there. They're not playing well. It's Scott's over at the park all the time. He's just mad about whatever. Well, George, you got two picks. You can close it out if you want before the show.
Yeah,
I just took Derrick Henry at the end of the fifth
round. I can't
round.
Believe you took Henry, by the way. That, to me, is a terrible pick at this point. Right. Round five? Round five? I mean,
it's
come on, man.
Round.
It's Jarvis Landry. Get over it. He's not a top 60 player. Come on.
All right. Well, we are in disagreement here. So
we are.
I'm
going to take another running back. Just to throw it in. I'm going to take Ty Montgomery. How about that?
Yeah. Jeez, this site is terrible. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah, it is. You realize Martavis Bryant is also not in the in the database.
Yeah, it's just
Anybody who didn't play last year in the NFL is not in the database right now. It's pretty pathetic.
So I just don't know why this is the case. Anyway, so that's a little internal drama. I can tell you Tony Cicada and Cha-Cha are coming up next. They're going to talk about Fantasy Bagels and Baseball. That's the name of the show. So they'll be talking about baseball for the next 2 hours. After that, it's Mike Florio, that unscrupulous, non-trustworthy colleague of ours that just sniped me because he's literally listening to the show, and I said I was going to pick Jarvis Landry. I blame George for about 45% of it, and Florio for about 55% of it for taking that. I wanted him there, but it's okay.
I think you should be proud of yourself for being a professional and doing what you had to do. I think it's all Mike Florio's fault.
That's right. I'm delivering content to the masses, and we appreciate you folks listening on this Memorial Day. The only thing I'll say about today's baseball games, you got Yu Darvish in there. Big-time start for him. Strasburg, Greinke. As Matt, you said earlier, Greinke, like any reservations that you had before the season, we probably all feel foolish about now, right?
Yeah, that's why you wear earmuffs in spring training. He's real deal, yeah. And... Foolishness.
Yeah. I went to the Yankee game the other night. Didi Gregorius hit a homer. I have him on my fantasy team, so that was nice. They beat up Jason Vargas, who actually throws today. Well, I didn't beat him up too bad. I won 4-2. So you got Vargas going today. Any other starts? Lackey goes against Brandon McCarthy. George, quick on the Dodgers. Brandon McCarthy in the rotation. How is this going to sort itself out with people guys coming back off the DL? McCarthy hangs on to this slot for the long term?
I mean, I think right now it's a guessing game. The only person I think, Kershaw, Wood, they have spots. Everybody else is pitch well or die. I guess it gives them some trading chips so these guys can stay healthy for any amount of time here. I think McCarthy does keep the job, but I also think he might be the one guy who could be on the move if the Dodgers figure they can mount a bolster their bullpen or something like that.
Dodgers have kind of a deep team, Matt. It seems like we're always talking about how they're going to play all these players.
Yeah, somebody's going to get injured on that team. I just hope it's not Alex Wood.
Yeah, or Cody Bellinger.
Yes.
Seager. All right. Thanks. 2 hours up, 2 hours down. Thanks, folks. Going to hand it over to Tony and Cha-Cha. George and I will be back tomorrow to talk who's hot, who's not. Enjoy your Memorial Day Saturday. Have a great weekend.